Hello everyone and welcome to Main Menu, ACB Radio's look at technology from a blindness perspective. This week, we bring you interviews from the exhibit floor of the 2006 ATIA conference. These presentations were first heard on Talking Communities, so a special thank you goes out to Talking Communities, OcuSource, Let's Go Expo, and ATIA for allowing Main Menu to bring these presentations to you. So without further ado, let's get into it for this week's edition of Main Menu. Main Menu.
Right now I'm here with Gareth from Dolphin. Welcome, Gareth.
Hi, Liz.
Good to see you again. Dolphin's obviously, as we all know in the business, Dolphin's been around for quite a long time, and he's got some very exciting new products here for us. So I'm going to turn the mic over to you, and I'll interject if I come across any questions here.
Sure, no problem. Well, the toys I've brought along to show you today is basically Pocket HAL, which is our screen reader for Windows Mobile 2003 second edition PDAs. As some of you who may have experienced Dolphin software before, we have a screen reader called HAL, magnification software called Luna, and Supernova, which is a combination of them both. And as well as being available on CD, all of those products are also available on a little USB thumb drive, a little USB flash drive, which you can plug in to any Windows XP or Windows 2000 computer and have instant magnification, speech, and braille access. So it's a screen reading on the go. You just plug it into the USB port. Also, Dolphin has recently launched some software in the, it's a new venture for us, in the learning disabilities, print impairment, and dyslexia field. We have a new product called Dolphin Tutor, which aids people with reading and writing. It's like a floating toolbar with different tools to help you read and write web pages, Word documents, etc. And for those of you who've heard of the new DAISY format for digital talking books, we have Easy Reader, which has been around for a while, which is our DAISY player. And we have Easy Publisher, which is a fully functional multimedia DAISY production tool, but we've also recently launched a new tool called Dolphin Producer, which is a snap-in toolbar for Microsoft Office applications that allows you to basically create a full DAISY book with one key press from a Word document. If you make a table of contents, if you use headings, the correct heading levels, in your Word document, it will automatically create a table of contents for your DAISY book. Hmm. But what I'm here today to do is to show you Pocket HAL, which has been launched in the US to coincide with the ATIA conference. It's a bit of a mouthful this time in the morning, especially if you've been out last night. So in front of me, I have two PDAs. Now, there are many PDAs on the market, and that's the whole point of Pocket HAL. Just like you can load your desktop screen reader on a Dell or a Gateway or, you know, any computer that you come across. The idea of Pocket HAL is it's a PDA screen reader, and you should be able to load it on any Windows 2003 mobile second edition PDAs. Mm-hmm. Now in front of me I have two. One is a Fujitsu Pocket Lux, and the other is an iMate Jam. The iMate Jam is actually a PDA, a cell phone, and a camera all in one. There are other models, there's like the latest iPac 6515 that also has Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, GPS, GPRS. It has all the latest goodies. Now, some of them will have a little built-in QWERTY keyboard. Some of them don't. Now, you can still use Pocket HAL on ones that don't have a QWERTY keyboard. You can actually look up information using the hardware buttons. Usually you've got shortcut key buttons on your PDA that allow you to automatically start your calendar or Internet Explorer or Word. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to turn this one on first.
Okay.
So this PDA belongs to my co-worker, so he has got the a cappella UK English voice. Obviously we're using the a cappella US English voice for the US market, but the software will also work with the Pocket Deck Talk and also with Dolphin's own Orpheus speech synthesizer. So basically I'm on the Today screen, and most of these machines have a little cursor pad. So owner Paul Thompson, this is Paul Thompson's computer, and it's just read out who the owner was and his telephone number. He's got no unread messages.
No tasks.
He's got no tasks. Well, no, he should be fetching me a coffee. That's a task for him. And the next will go to his calendar. So these are his upcoming meetings. But if I want to get more details or to set new appointments, I can press the Enter key in the middle of the joypad.
21 Jan 06, the virtual focus window.
And it says... Okay, so basically said auto virtual focus, which means that this particular screen doesn't have a cursor on it, and it's created an invisible speech cursor which you can cursor around. And it also told us, I think we've got two items, if I remember what the speech said.
Daisy Hardware.
So, and the other item, ATIA Florida. So let's see what he's put in for that. So if I press enter on it,
auto virtual focus window, property sheet. Area.
So it tells us it's the ATIA. Now we can just cursor around. He's put the date in the UK format of day, month, year, but never mind.
Florida.
So, and you can also do the equivalent if you're a, we call it document read, but if you're a George user, the say all command, it can read the whole window. If we want to get out of this window, we can just press the back key. That will take us to the previous one. Now, in this application, there's a menu bar at the bottom. Mm-hmm. Now, the menu bar expects, because it's a PDA, it expects you to click on the menu bar with the stylus. So what we can do is we can press the shift key followed by the right arrow key, which will route the virtual invisible speech cursor onto the menu bar. So if I press shift, cursor right,
menu bar.
We're on the menu bar. So let's have a look at the menu bar. Tools.
Agenda view.
So these are some bitmap buttons like a toolbar. Day view, week view. So if you go to tools, we can open up that menu. So it's returned to the live focus because we're in a menu, options, and so I can press back to get out of there. So I can press back again to get out of here. Now, and I'm back to the desktop. Now, I've only got four buttons on here, but I can emulate other buttons like the equivalent of pressing the Windows Start button by pressing Shift and the back button together.
And full drop down menu.
So a full drop down menu. So this will read out the items in the start menu.
Active thing. Contacts.
And I'm going to get us down to programs.
Pocket Excel. Keyboard. Pocket Word. Citizen. Pocket Hub. Programs.
Programs. Going to programs.
Programs window. Citizen selected. List view 21 items.
21 items we've got in here. If we go through some of them, you've got obviously things like File Explorer, we've got Pocket Word, Pocket Excel, Pocket Internet Explorer, Pocket MSN Messenger, Pocket Outlook, and you can synchronize this with all the data on your desktop or laptop computer.
And of course you can connect to a Bluetooth keyboard?
Keyboard. So that's what I'm going to do next. So I've shown you that you can actually control without a keyboard, you can actually control and look up information. And now I'm going to switch over to another one that's an iMate Gem, which I think I mentioned at the beginning, which is a cell phone, a PDA. And I've got that hooked up to a Bluetooth keyboard. It's a foldable keyboard from HP. Now, Dolphin have made their own Bluetooth drivers, because there's a problem with connecting Bluetooth keyboards to PDAs that don't have a built-in QWERTY keyboard. And that is what happens when you pair a Bluetooth device, like a Bluetooth keyboard, to your PDA. It will pop up a dialog box and ask you to enter a pairing code, a four-digit pairing code. So it's a chicken and egg situation that until your keyboard works, you can't type it in. What a sighted person would do is they'd tap on an on-screen digital keyboard with a stylus, but obviously for a blind person, that's no good. So what Dolphin have done is made their own Bluetooth drivers that will automatically enter the pairing code. It does the whole thing seamlessly for you. So all you have to do is just switch on your keyboard and press the little detect button. You can even take out your batteries when your batteries go flat, put them back in, and it will take care of the process for you. So I'm just going to turn on the iMate, which has got Pocket DevTool. And now I've got a little foldable Bluetooth keyboard. It's so small that it could actually fit into your pocket. I don't know how many ounces it weighs, but they are quite light. So I'm going to press the Windows key.
Okay.
And bring the cursor down.
I like that speaker a little bit.
Yes, I think it's a bit louder. Actually, I'll go up to Pocket Programs.
Today.
Help. Settings. Programs. Press enter. And just like the regular Windows interface, I can press the initial letter, so I can press P. Oh, I press left bracket, you heard. I hit the wrong key on it. That's what happens when somebody visually impaired is trying to do the demonstration. Press P.
Photo.
Pictures. Pocket Excel. Pocket Word. Press enter on Pocket Word. And what happens is it brings up a list. Unlike the desktop version, I just press the control key, which is a mute key, just like on the desktop version. And it brings up a list of your files first that you want to open. So I'm going to press W for Word Demo. Press open that. Okay, so I'll just cursor down a line in my document. A few lines, maybe. Supernova. Okay, so it's a full screen reader. If I press 4, it will give me the character we're on. No, if I was on the line with the character. Okay, now press 4. Okay, press it again. Okay, so it tells you what the font is. I can press Alt, and when I press Alt, it will route me onto the menu bar. I can cursor along the menu bar. I'll do a quick spell check. View. Tools. Press space bar. Spell check. Do a spell check. Okay, so I can press Control and W to make it read out the misspelled word. Plus num, it said. I can press Control W again to make it spell out the misspelled word. I can press Control L to make it read it out in line, and then I can cursor between all of the options. Ignore all, and add, and all those type of things.
So really, fully screen readable Pocket PC.
Yeah, exactly. That's what, and it works out of the box with Pocket Windows Media Player, Pocket Word, Pocket Excel, Pocket Internet Explorer, all of those applications, and we will also be making configuration files. We call them map files. Jaws calls them scripts. Windowize calls them set files. We'll be making those available for other applications, but basically everything that comes regularly installed on a Pocket PC, you'll have access to.
Great, and what's the price point on it here?
It's $5.95 as the introductory offer. The regular price is $6.95, but for the first couple of months, we've got a special offer of $5.95.
That's great, you get a heck of a lot for that.
And one last thing I'd like to add, in terms of keyboards, And that, as well as being able to use a Bluetooth QWERTY keyboard, Optilec are making a Bluetooth Braille keyboard called EasyLink, which not only can you control your PDA, but you can do Braille input. You can do grade 1 Braille input. They're also making one called the, I think it's called the EasyLink Braille 12, which is a keyboard with a Bluetooth 12-cell Braille display into it. And that's one little thing I forgot to mention, is as well as speech, we support Bluetooth Braille displays as well.
Why don't we give everybody your web address so they can find out?
Okay. So our web address is www.dolphincomputeraccess.com.
I'm here today with Larry Lewis, president of the, would it be the blindness division of Optilec, is that right?
Yeah.
Great. Larry, welcome.
Thank you, Lou. Thanks for having me.
Well, what's happening with Optilec? Tell us some new stories.
Well, quite a bit is happening with Optilec. First of all, for those of you who are not aware of the history of Optilec, Optilec's been around in some iteration for the past 30 years. It's a Dutch-owned corporation with sales offices throughout Germany, Belgium, Canada, the UK. We don't even have an office in Japan and then the US. And we export to 30 different countries. Optilec, the original name of Optilec, just to go back, was Thiemann, the Thiemann Group, named after Franz Thiemann, who was really the pioneer, the inventor of the refreshable Braille cell as you know it today. Optilec underwent a name change and just an overall facelift this past year where the Thiemann name was dropped and in favor of the Optilec name. So we have really gone, really undergone a real facelift over the last year or so in that we are now just one big company, Optilec. Before it was the Thiemann Group in Europe and Optilec in the U.S. Optilec in the U.S. has been around for about 20 years and has a primarily focused on the manufacturing and designing of CCTV video magnifier type technology for persons who are low vision. A couple of years ago, I was approached and hired from another company that works specifically with blindness products and was brought on to Optilec to really redefine how they develop and access Braille technologies and so forth. And there's lots of great companies and lots of great products throughout the world and so forth. But wanted to think of some different ways of doing things. I'm going to talk about some of those today. Optilec is really one of the only companies that makes its own Braille cell as well as its refreshable Braille displays. So by doing so, for those of you who are familiar with refreshable Braille technology, the Braille cell is the most expensive part of the technology. So the advantage that Optilec has is that we don't have to buy cells from other people and hike the price of this technology, and we're able to offer some pretty competitive pricing as it relates to refreshable Braille displays. So a couple of years ago, we introduced a display to the U.S. market called the Braille Voyager. It's a Braille display, very useful for Windows because of all the different buttons and things that it has on it. But the most appealing part about the Braille Voyager is its size and its price. It's a foldable Braille display with a retractable cover over the top of it. It's 44 cells. We also have a 70-cell desktop model, and we pride ourselves on being the highest quality, lowest cost display on the market today. Our 44-cell model is $34.95, and we pride ourselves on our desktop model, our 70-cell display, being $59.95, which is about the same price as other companies' 40-cell Braille displays. Mm-hmm. So because we have that middleman cut out, having to buy cells from somebody else, we're able to shave off thousands of dollars off the initial price point and so forth. It's great for persons who are using the PC very heavily in work environments and so forth. Earlier, or towards the end of 2005, we purchased Alva, the assets of Alva, which is another Dutch-based company, and many of you are familiar with the Alva displays. And we have begun to integrate the Alva displays, the Alva satellite series, which many of you know and many have bought over the last few years. We've integrated those assets into our current product line, and we'll be doing those types of continued integration throughout the coming year. Gareth Collins from Dolphin, who was just on before, I was walking up to the table, and Gareth was actually talking about something new that we've released at the show. We released a product called EasyLink 12, and I'll give you a little bit of history about EasyLink and how the EasyLink concept came up. I've worked with technology, and I'm a blind user of technology, really since its inception in the late 70s with Telesensory and so forth, and have used note takers for a long time, and I'm a big fan of note takers. But I'm really not a big fan of size and bulk, and even though note takers have gotten smaller, there's still an element of size associated with these note takers that we felt we could reduce even more. So what we did was we came up with a concept last year called EasyLink. And EasyLink is a wireless Bluetooth Braille keyboard. It has Braille input capabilities. And what it does is it connects to multiple types of devices. So if you have a cell phone with accessible cell phone software like MobileSpeak on it, you're able to control your cell phone text message in Braille and do different things like that. If you have a Pocket PC with Pocket PAL and so forth, as Gareth was talking about recently, you can control that Pocket PC with a Braille keyboard much in the same way that you would control a note taker. And what that does is it extracts the intelligence off of the main device, reducing the size of your access and allowing you the capability of accessing many different things with the same Braille access device. We've released a product at ATIA with shipping in March, and hopefully by CSUN in March for those of you who can make it out to CSUN. The product is called EasyLink 12, and it's just an expansion of our EasyLink effort. EasyLink 12 is a Braille keyboard with 6 key Braille input. Below those keys are 3 additional elongated keys going from left to right. You have a shift, a space, and a control key. Below that, you have a 12-cell Braille display with a scroll button, a little button on each side of the display for scrolling right, left. And between dots 1 and 4 on your Perkins-style keyboard, we have a joystick for up, down, left, right, and we have a fifth action. If you push it in, it's like pressing the enter key for five-way navigation. And what that does is it just takes the whole EasyLink concept a step further. I'm a very heavy Braille user, and my frustration last year, even though the EasyLink Braille keyboard is a great low-cost option, I mean, it's a $495 keyboard. What EasyLink 12 offers us is wireless Braille, refreshable Braille output, so that you don't even have to use speech. You're able to connect with a variety of software programs. We can even control our PC with EasyLink 12 using Dolphin Supernova, and we also have drivers for JAWS and WindowEyes to control everything from your PC to your PDA to your accessible cell phone. Have that Braille output as well as that speech output. Have that Braille input as well. So we came out with 12 cells for very quick pocket-sized reading, and we also wanted a Braille option that was less than $2,000. So we haven't etched the price in stone, but we'll probably be floating around that $1,995 price point, which just having something that is refreshable Braille that allows for numerous types of usage and so forth, and a variety of mobile capacities, really gives the end user an opportunity the working end user who might not have a case with the rehabilitation department, or they're out of school, they're not really receiving equipment for school and so forth. It gives them a chance of really purchasing this equipment on their own, from a few hundred dollars up to under $2,000, and that's a lot more palatable than spending $4,000 to $5,000 to $6,000 of your own money on equipment that might be a little bit more bulkier and might go out of date a little more quickly. Braille has been Braille since the early 1800s, and note-taking commands and that note-taking user interface really hasn't changed a lot in the last 25 years since the VersaBraille. So we really feel that if we keep what is the same out, and it doesn't really need to be upgraded so much, we keep the intelligence separate, then the Fortune 500 companies can update things themselves. We can focus on making them accessible and give you and me, those of us who are blind, the same sort of mainstream evolution or revolution that's going on right now on the portable access front. We have distribution throughout the U.S. My specific role is to interact with our development department back in Holland. and then to oversee our sales and distribution throughout North America of the Braille and speech-oriented products. We have a strategic alliance with Dolphin, whereby we're their primary distributor of software throughout the U.S., and we provide Dolphin, which is a UK-based organization, a lot of U.S.-based sales and marketing efforts for them on the North American front. We also have some strategic alliances with Quantum Technologies in Australia. We partner with them. We license their Braille translation software. We also resell their products, their Notepad Brailler and Pictures in a Flash as well for the early educational market. Mm-hmm. And have a new product out called Jotadot, which is a $300 mechanical Braille writer that allows for very small note-taking as far as jotting on a 4x6 piece of paper and so forth. So we also distribute the products. We basically distribute products that direct traffic back to the products that we make, Braille displays, EasyLink keyboards, and I didn't even mention our CCTVs. We also have released a a 19-inch modular design, really the first 19-inch that's out there. We have a modular approach to CCTV usage whereby a customer receives a CCTV, they put it together, just follow the diagram and put it together, and then if a piece goes bad, if something were to fail, we'd be able to ship them a specific part. It's shipped in 4 components, and it's better than having to send a whole TV back and wait for a TV and so forth. It's just mixing and matching parts if something were to go wrong. So it's been, our Clearview Plus line has been really, wildly successful, actually. And we're very happy to be really the first to come out with a 19-inch monitor, which is shipping. A flat screen monitor, and Lou, I know this view with your background and low vision and so forth can attest to the quality that's beginning to improve upon those flat screens. You get a little bit more vision, field of vision, or I should say space that you can actually view from a 17-inch to a 19-inch monitor, about 20% more space.
Ergonomics are better, weight's better, everything's getting better.
And the screen moves. It tilts forwards, backwards. You can move it left, right, up, and down. And so you can make it very comfortable for yourself. I don't really spend a great deal of time with the low vision. There's sometimes a little bit of crossover. My specific job and my specific passion is to think of some new ways that we as persons who are blind can access material and really connect to the mainstream. So we're really positioning EasyLink as your link to the mainstream.
Mm-hmm. You had a recent acquisition merger, didn't you?
Well, we had a couple. We purchased the professional products division from Lighthouse International, a New York-based not-for-profit who owned a whole line of power magnifiers. And so we purchased that back in June, and so we've been integrating that into Optilec. And then in September, unfortunately, a company who's been around for quite a long time went bankrupt, actually, and a few companies, Optilec being the winner, or the fortunate person, the company to pick up the assets of that company, Alva, which is another Dutch-based company. And I am really glad that we were able to step in and do that. My first real PC-based refreshable Braille experience was with the Alva, and so I have a real sentimental attachment to those Alva Braille displays. And it's a tough market out there, and any company can attest it's very tough to stay afloat. It's a very competitive market and so forth, and we're just fortunate to have been in a place where we could pick up the assets of Alva and keep that product line alive, retain some of the intellectual property and some of the great people associated with the Alva name. We are working with VisionQ in the U.S., which is an Oregon-based provider of assistive technology. Larry Lake, who has a 9-year history with the Alva products in the U.S., to manage the Alva distribution for Optilec. So we're very happy to have Larry as part of the team. I know that I have to wrap things up, and I hope that some of you who are coming to CSUN will be able to check out what's new with the EasyLink and some other things that we're doing at Optilec. And we are going to be aggressively working the country, traveling. We're going to be at a lot of different shows in the next 4 or 5 months, and looking forward to seeing you with some of this new technology that we have out. This technology that you, the blind consumer, can afford. And just want to say thanks to Dr. Lipschultz for his time and for giving Optolife the opportunity to tell you what's new at ATIN.
Larry, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for coming. Well, we're here with Kathy Gettle from AI Squared. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you, Lou.
Kathy, most of us in the industry have known about AI Squared and worked with them for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some new listeners that will be on here and people downloading, so if you give a little bit of a background about the company, maybe a little history, we'd appreciate that.
AI Squared was started in the mid to late 80s by a man named Ben Weiss. Ben is still the owner and operator, the president of AI Squared. Started the company in Atlanta, Georgia. And when he and his wife started their family, they decided to find a better place to raise children and decided that Manchester, Vermont would be their place. The company's been in Manchester since late 80s, and we just moved to a new facility last year, so we have more space. We don't have to have bunk desks anymore.
So you have new product line and new at the same time.
Actually, it must have been 2 years ago because they weren't the same summer.
Okay.
Move was the summer before. this summer we came out with Zoomtext 9, which was very exciting. We skipped a lot of weekend projects and spent a lot of time at work. And in September, we were able to deliver on Zoomtext 9. When we decided to create Zoomtext 9, we wanted to make it easier to see, easier to hear, and easier to use.
So Zoomtext, just as an overview of what it does,
mm-hmm.
for those who don't know.
Okay. Zoomtext is a magnifier and screen reader so that someone who's low vision can put the product on their computer and be able to use their computer like a sighted person. You can set the magnification anywhere from 1.25 times to 36 times, although I don't know how useful it would be to someone to run at 36, but if you needed to zoom in on something to check out a feature or something that you needed to see close, that would be a good thing. If you run at 2x, you can see 1/4 of the screen at a time. And Zoomtext tracks automatically so that the item that you're working on, the thing that has focus, as we say, stays within the viewport. So that's always in front of you. Zoomtext speaks. It has program echo so that if you open a file menu, Zoomtext says file menu open. It has typing echo so that you can set it to either type echo the word, the character, or both.
Mm.
If you were to type the word the, Zoomtext could say T, H, E, and as soon as you hit the space bar, it would say the. So those are the main things. Zoomtext also has what is called an application reader, so that if you're in, say, an email, a document, or a web page, you can turn on the application reader and either watch as each word is highlighted and spoken, or just sit back and relax, rest your eyes, and have Zoomtext read it to you without any participation from you, and that way you don't have the eye strain. So double product, magnifier and screen reader, or you can buy Zoomtext as just a magnifier if you feel like you're not ready for the screen reader part of it yet.
That's great to have that flexibility to do both. That's really a fair question. How many users lean towards the screen reading side, even though they might be a 2 or 3 times magnifier? Is it common for people to flip on the screen reading at a lower level at this point?
It is. Because of the fatigue issue, one of our tech support technicians at work is a Zoomtext user, and when she's at work all day, she runs just magnification. She's on the telephone and talking to customers, and it just works out better for her to have just magnification on. When she gets home, she's dealing with a 2-year-old. She's making dinner for her family. And if she wants to check email, she'll often turn on our application reader and have Zoomtext read her email to her so that she doesn't have to have any further eye strain from the day.
Makes perfect sense. Now, you also have a sort of a tiered system. You have an introductory product, if I understand. Is it Big Shot? Is that still available?
Big Shot is still available. Big Shot sells for $99, so someone who isn't quite sure whether or not they're going to like magnification can buy Big Shot without too much of a financial burden. Big Shot magnifies only. It magnifies between 1 and 2 times. There are 20 increments, 5%. Steps. So you can magnify at 1.05 all the way up to 200%. Zoomtext has features that Big Shot doesn't. Zoomtext has things like color filtering, pointer enhancements, cursor enhancements. Big Shot never has those things. Big Shot is a magnifier only. And like I said, Big Shot never has speech. So it's a very entry-level product.
That's great. I know you can actually try it a little bit before you buy it, can't you? Is there a download mechanism?
Absolutely. You can download either product for a trial. The trial is 30 days, and it's a free trial.
Mm-hmm.
If a user runs into trouble, they can call tech support while they're running the trial and get support on using the features or installing or whatever they seem to be stumbling on.
Mm-hmm.
Some users will just call us and say, I download it and I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So tech support will lead them through what they have to do to get going.
Well, we always know, I'd always thought about the, at least, I don't know which person you came out with it, but there was an insertion of a little magnifying glass, if you will, that in a window that goes around the whole page and
mm-hmm.
only magnifies a certain area of the desktop that you're looking at.
Right.
Is that commonly used, or is that just a tool that looks good to me? Because it seems like that would be something to be desirable, because we're all kind of used to moving around with a magnifier, and you still know the whole landscape of the page.
From what I've heard, and I think this is anecdotal information more than anything that we've discovered by any marketing research or any of that type of mechanism, but what we believe is most people run in full screen mode, with lens being the second choice. There are other options within ZoomText. You can have a docked screen so that you magnify only the top, only the bottom, only the right or left. And there's a line zoom where you can magnify one line at a time. But I think those are used less. I think it's mainly people choose full screen and second, they choose lens. And the lens is nice because you can increase the size of the lens so that you can make it up to a quarter of the screen. Or you can have it small, like you said.
Is there obviously you also have the other option of a full-blown screen reader, whether it might be PAL or JAWS versus product like yours.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that the difference would be ease of use, yours compared to those products. It seems like it'd be simpler to get to know them, especially if you're not a blind user who's been trained on using screen readers. Yours is probably a lot more user-friendly.
I think so. I think that's true. I have talked to counselors and rehab people who say that they start people, even if they're totally blind, you can put them on ZoomText units because it's a shorter learning curve.
Okay.
Somebody that they think might not be able to handle a full-blown screen reader, they can put them on ZoomText. And the ZoomText screen reading portion is always being improved. We now have the facility to read by character, by word, by line, by sentence, and by paragraph. And many people who have not kept exact track of the ZoomText improvements don't realize that. So our screen reader is continually becoming more and more robust.
That's pretty strong. I didn't realize it had that many features.
It does.
Very good. Well, why don't we make sure we know how you sell, obviously, through a dealer network and also through your site. What would be the best way for visitors to get their way to talk to AI Squared?
To talk to AI Squared, you can call the toll-free sales number, which is 800-859. And I just blanked 0270. Sorry about that.
Say it 1,000 times a day, I'm sure.
Yes. And like I said, that takes you to sales if you want to order a trial or talk to somebody in sales about a question you have. We also have multi-user licenses, so someone who's buying ZoomText for a corporation or a college, university can call sales and find out more about that. Tech support would be our 802 number, the Vermont area code 02. It's 362-3612. If you want to talk to somebody in tech support.
Excellent. And your website address?
www.aisquared.com. AI Squared actually stands for Algorithm Implementation Incorporated. But it's really hard to answer the phone and say all that, so we shortened it to AI Squared.
I didn't learn that until just a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
thanks for coming in. We appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Have
thank you.
Have a great time home. Hope you had a great meeting.
We did. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm here with Leon Resnick from ABIC Corporation. Hi, Leon. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
Well, thank you very much for coming over. I asked you to come over to do this interview because I thought your product is new to the market, and I think it's really creative, and it's got multiple potential uses. So thanks again for coming over to the booth to talk today. So why don't you tell us first, again, since you're somewhat of a new entrant into the manufacturing side of low vision blindness products, how did you get involved with this industry?
Well, there were two reasons. One is we saw that for the last probably 5 years, all the magnification devices were like all the same, there was almost no progress. It was the same XY table and the same low resolution camera, and you had to move your page left and right for every line that you read. And there were some personal reasons for a friend that you wanted to do something.
Friends and family that you wanted to help.
Yeah, and it turned out to be a commercial product now. And we realized that it gave you something that you make one snapshot and then you can read it comfortably without headache, without moving it left and right for every light.
Sure. We're going to take about a 10-second break while a large machine comes rolling down the hallway here. Hang on, everybody. Some things you just can't control.
Yeah. It's on the carpet now.
Now it's on the carpet.
Yeah,
so like many people, many small companies that become big companies are started because there's a personal reason to help other people with this problem. Very understandable. So you've come up with a unique idea here. So would you mind explaining what your product is and how it works?
The basic idea is instead of making the low resolution camera, that's what all the CCTVs are, and make the viewing object move under the camera, we made a high resolution camera that views the whole 8.5 by 11 page with a high resolution, and then it does a digital zoom, and you can navigate through the page digitally without moving anything.
Okay.
And that does a few advantages. First of all, don't have to physically move anything. The second advantage is our camera doesn't have any moving parts, and that's why it's very small and portable.
Very small and portable is right. I'll do a description. You probably can do it as much better than I, but it's using tubular steel, and it's sort of a right angle, two pieces of metal that lay on the table. There's a vertical tube that goes up about, 16 inches or so?
Yeah, it's about 15 inches.
15 inches. And then off the top of that 15-inch tube that goes straight up towards the ceiling, there's an arm that comes out with a camera that's about less than an inch thick and about 2.5-3 inches square.
Yeah.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. And that camera then looks down at a page. So now we've got somewhat of a visual of what that does. How does it work?
Yeah. First of all, it collapses.
It goes down
and you can collapse it into like small 1-pound tube umbrella.
Yeah, umbrella size, right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And the way it works, you put the page under it and you push one button and it takes a couple of seconds, and what you see on the screen is a reformatted text. It will identify all the text, it will throw out all the pictures, and it will wrap the lines such that they don't run off the screen.
Okay, is that optical character recognition, or is it just images of each word?
No, what you see now is just an image of each word.
Okay.
In the basic product, the way we have it now, we don't have any optical character recognition.
Okay.
So we recognize that there are words. We know that this is a word, but we don't know what this word is.
I see.
So we can still display it, magnify it, and we can take a line of text and break it into words and display it, rearrange the words on the screen such that they all fit it horizontally, but in the basic version we don't do optical character recognition, and that's actually our next step. It's going to be a next separate package that actually I can demonstrate now.
All right.
It's a prototype.
Cool. That sounds wonderful. How long before, you always spill the beans, how long before we can expect that next product to come out before it starts to speak?
Well, first of all, we can just push the button now and it will speak.
Okay. Sure.
At the IA important reminders to be eligible for ADIA 2007 on-site space selection. The following documents must be submitted to...
And again, this is a prototype, and probably going to be another 2-3 months before it will be available as a separate package.
So really, you've got a kind of a scanning camera tool that you can take with you anywhere. If you're a road warrior, you plug it into your laptop, pop it open, and you can basically read any document, for the most part, in type text.
Yeah, exactly. And the good advantage is, you pop a document, you push the button, and it's very fast. It takes probably a second to shot to take a snapshot, and takes another second and a half to reformat the text and start speaking.
Great. And there's not a lot of controls. I think I saw you just use two different keystrokes, right?
Yeah, controls are very easy. The basic operation just requires you to use maybe pretty much one button to put the paper and one button to reformat the text.
Mm-hmm.
It has some advanced features where you can go back and use the original text. You can view it as what we call virtual XY table, where you can still move it left and right and view the actual pictures or view something.
So sort of a magnified image that you can move left or right, left or down to get the full view.
Yeah.
Virtual CCTV?
Yeah, so it's the virtual CCTV. It's like a small XY table, but it's spec'd on the computer.
Makes perfect sense. I can see this being probably, well, good for any kind of a traveling business person, but probably also education. Have you had any feedback from the market yet?
Oh, yeah, students like it at all. The teachers and students like it at all. First of all, they like the weight, that a student can take a laptop which weighs only 7-8 pounds, and Zoomix that weighs another 1 pound, and it's easily portable. They can take it from class to class. And the people who are traveling, the workforce, they also like it a lot because they can take it with them.
Perfect. Now, how long, there's multiple ways probably to find this, but you're fairly new into the industry. How can people find their way to actually work with your, or to find your product itself?
We have a description on our website. Mm-hmm. It's abice.com.
Okay.
We are establishing the distributor network.
Okay, so if there's any distributors you're listening, they might want to give you a call and talk to you about that opportunity.
Yeah, they can email us at
info
at at mousevision.com. Sorry.
I guess another question: What's the potential future? What do you have planned that you want to share anyway? Where can this go?
There are unlimited possibilities here. Now, it's just a device for visually impaired. In the future, it may be a device for the blind.
Mm-hmm.
And we are working to improve it. We may raise the viewing area so you can take a full newspaper and read the whole newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
We also may use it in the libraries where we have a book feature where you can scan the whole book and then take a book with digital book with you and view it all magnified.
So that's a question I didn't ask. So as it captures the image, is there a way to save the image after you?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You can save the image and you can view it later.
So you can capture a page, flip, capture another page, and compile
the
whole
exactly.
book.
And you capture a page just pressing one button, and it almost instantaneously it's captured. So it's very fast to scan the whole book.
Outstanding. So do those each become separate documents, one page after another? Is it one continuous document that's pieced together?
Currently, yes. But in the future, we will have another software package that will allow you to take the whole book and capture the whole book as one entity.
One entity. So really, what you then could do is you could just keep capturing, and then throw it into a drive and let some other tool read it back to you when you get on the bus or the train or the plane.
Yeah, exactly. That's the plan. And another thing that you can do is that you can print the page with a larger font.
Mm.
And it will print it reformatted as if you would take a Word document and change the font and reprint it.
Very cool. Very cool. Did I miss anything? I think I covered most of the pieces of it. Is there anything else you wanted to point out about the tool?
No, that's pretty much it. Another good feature is if you take some other material, for example, a newspaper, which has a multiple columns, again, it will help you to read it. It will identify the columns and put them, at least try to put them in the right order.
Cool. I'm really intrigued. I think it's a great tool. I think it's very creative. You've done a great job for this.
Thank you.
Thank you. So again, your website is abice.com.
Yeah, it's www.abice.com.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Leon. I appreciate you coming at the end of the day.
Thank you, Leon.
All right.
It was a pleasure.
Take care.
Take care.
Larry, and I can't Skutkan because I've seen it, but I've never said it correctly. Nice to see you here. Larry has been a speaker as well as an exhibitor here. Is that right?
Correct.
Cool. Well, this is more of a telling the people who are out there who weren't able to make it to the event at this point. Well, first, why don't you tell us about you, what your affiliation is as far as corporate or organizations?
Okay. I'm with the American Printing House for the Blind in Louisville, Kentucky. And for any of you who are not familiar with APH, we have actually been around since 1858. I didn't work there back then, but we are sort of the government's arm as a way to provide Braille textbooks to students. And this is how we started, and we advanced and expanded, and the area that I'm in there now in educational research is specifically devoted to technology. So the group that I'm with writes software, develops hardware. Mainly we try to focus on things that are not already out there already. Mm-hmm. For instance, back in July we released a new program to manage your checkbook, very much like Quicken, except totally accessible. Quicken's a great program, but it's a pain in the butt to try to use with speech. So this thing is, you can actually use it self-voicing or with your screen reader. And those are the kind of applications we develop, things that are just not out there already. Mm-hmm. And that's why the government established us, in fact, back in 1858. As a way to provide materials that didn't, you know, companies that work for profit just didn't see enough of a market.
Yeah, makes sense. What's the most, I guess, I know you have a wide array of devices and products that you do supply. What's the most common services or products that you end up supplying?
Well, in terms of the whole company, Braille and large print textbooks are probably our main thing. Mm-hmm. In the area of technology, I think one of our most popular products in the last few years has been the Bookport. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but what it is a device that's about the size of a remote control. And it's made... This is it right here.
For
a,
huh?
Oh, yeah. I'd live, breathe, sleep with that thing, everything.
That's your baby.
And what it is, it's got 18 keys on the front of it arranged in rows. And it's just used to be able to navigate through the books that you've stored on it via the USB port. It's got a compact flash card in the side where everything gets stored. And you can actually store hundreds or even thousands of books on there. It actually recognizes Word, HTML, RTF, text, BRF, MP3, Audible.com, DAISY, DTBs, both the version 2 and the new version 3 that NLS is going to be doing their collection on. Wow, it's noisy here.
It's a noisy corner over here.
And one of the most interesting things about the Bookport that we just released last summer is that you can take this thing and turn it on its side, and now you've got a note taker. You can use these as your Braille keys, and the bottom two in the middle are actually the space bar.
Mm-hmm.
So not only is it
a Braille.
Wow. Yeah, a note taker and a reader.
And I see a flash card can be inserted there. Remember
right.
This?
That's where everything gets stored. This one that's in here right now is 2 gigabytes. We just released some firmware that supports 4 gigabyte cards now. So that's been a real popular product for us. One of the nice things about this, too, is it runs on 2 AA batteries. So you can just take it with you anywhere. Runs on the text-to-speech for about 60 hours on those batteries,
and
too.
And 2 AA.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
What does that retail for?
$3.95.
What a deal!
Yeah.
Fantastic. And you said Audible. Is that mm-hmm. You got a favorite book service that you like to subscribe to?
Bookshare. Everybody should be subscribed to Bookshare.org. Mm-hmm. Oh, I failed to mention RFB&B.
Oh.
Well, that's DAISY too, but it's a little bit special because they're protected, and not every DAISY reader can read them, but Bookport is a supported device for the RFB&B.
Cool. Well, I know you've got a comprehensive website. What is the URL for the website?
APH.org.
APH.org, and is there a preferred phone number if somebody wants to do it the good old-fashioned way?
Oh, man, I should know. I can
tell
you the 502-895-2405, and I think the 800 is 232-1839.
I'm sure they'll find it.
Somebody will correct me.
Yeah, it's out there.
We're talking, this is interesting thing you're doing here with this audio.
Mm-hmm.
And for the people listening, I would like to put in a plug for a podcast that I just started on my own just out of fun and just something to do. I actually started it out because I wanted to get material that we owned for the book port so I can do some experimentation and playing around. I started just doing training material and then expanded out to walking with a guide dog, blind bowling. People have started contributing product reviews.
Right.
Turns out to be really neat. It's at blindcooltech.com.
Blindcooltech.com.
Yep.
All right.
So check it out.
I'll be subscribing very soon.
All right.
I'm not sure if it's for today, but it'll be very soon.
I've actually got some sessions from ATIA up there already. We'll walk through the exhibit hall and some interviews and some sessions that I was involved in.
So all right.
It's pretty cool.
That brings this edition of ACB Radio's Main Menu to a close. Again, we'd like to give a special thanks to OcuSource, Talking Communities, Let's Go Expo, and ATIA for allowing ACB Radio to air these presentations for you. If you would like to get a hold of the ACB Radio Main Menu production team, then please do email us by emailing mainmenu@acbradio.org. That's mainmenu@acbradio.org. We would love to hear from you. We'll see you next week on the next edition of ACB Radio's Main Menu.